at the Rising Billions. Disrupting tradition.
Always be closing.
Gaining exponential wisdom from street smart strategies.
I dream the kind of dreams that other people said would not be possible.
Free your mind. Nothing happens till something moves.
I'm a big fan of going all in on your strengths.
Create your blue ocean. Innovation and collaboration with competition.
Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world?
Creating uncontested market space.
I worry that people don't tap into their strengths.
Wealth creation and a new economy entrepreneur.
There is a very thin dividing line between success and failure.
Witnessing unprecedented technology.
You can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold Show with Christopher Gumby and Alan Witch.
Hi, it's Christopher Cumby with Think Bold, Be Bold. Here with my awesome co-host, Alan Witch. Alan, we're live. And we've got some viewers. So hopefully we get
some viewers.
Now that they saw our silliness.
I don't know which one of you to talk to.
Just talk to me right here. Pretend I'm not even in the room. Let's just get on with the show.
I do that all the time anyway.
Everything. How's it going, Alan?
Oh, there we go. Now I can hear you. This is fun.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Alan, we're doing a show right now. Just so you know, we're doing a show.
Oh, we're doing a show. Oh, okay.
We're doing a show right now.
How is
Alan coming from Portland, Oregon today?
Doing fantastic, although it's raining outside, so I'd really appreciate it if it would warm up a little bit, but I'm alive. I got up this morning. I wasn't dead, so it's a good day.
That's a great day. So we're live, and we're doing our podcast show here on Think Bold, Be Bold, giving people some insight to what we do, how we do it, and have a theme of the show today. And I think a great theme, as we talk about all the time, Alan, is that when we first started this show, we had no idea really what we were doing. It evolved because we kept walking as far as we could see, and we saw a little further, and we understood then what to do next, and here we are. We're, 100 and some odd shows in. I think 120 recorded. We're creeping up on 100 launched as we're doing today's show, which is number 93. And we just had Tom Brainard on for values.com, which was a ton of fun.
What a great guy. I reached out to him a while back. I've been following the Foundation for a Better Life and values.com for quite a while. And I think probably a lot of us do. We've seen them on TV. We've seen their commercials on TV. They've been on for a number of years, and they're promoting a better life. That's their goal. Their goal is not to sell any product. Their goal is not to recruit anybody. Their goal is to just show how we as individuals can provide a better life, not only for ourselves, but for the world around us. And we were fortunate to get the VP of values.com on the show, Tom Brainard, like you said. A great guy, and they are doing some amazing things globally. We hear about what they do here in the U.S., but we don't always hear or not always privy to what's going on, overseas. And they're doing some fantastic things. I'd encourage everybody to dial in the Foundation for a Better Life or values.com, and be sure to listen to Tom on our last podcast, like you mentioned, because he's got some great content, some great ideas of where the company is going and what our society can expect from that group of extremely talented people.
Big time. And we just launched that show, so you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Mm-hmm. Just look for Think Bold, Be Bold, and you'll be able to check out that show. And it's a great show, as Alan said. Great insight from that side of the realm on media, and how interesting was that show? It's just in my mind, some great great antidotes that you can carry forward as well in your business for our viewers, which right now, not knowing exactly how everything's going, Alan, out there in the world of Facebook, but I think it's showing up, and we'll find out. Hey, listen, we're just trying this out. But we do have a live show going right now, and it will be launched later today as well. Now, Alan, we've gone off and started doing some, you know, really creative things, and hence what we're doing now, testing the waters. But I know you've been doing something pretty interesting, you know, right now in your world. Give us some insight on what that looks like.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, as a couple of years that you and I've been working together, we've been, you know, really testing the water in a number of areas. And we've done that for a reason. You know, our audience hasn't really noticed any services and programs and so forth from us because we have been developing. We have been testing. We have been developing our audience and so forth. And I have done something that is a little bit unique, something I've wanted to do for a long time, and I think now's the time to do it. And that is to start working directly with CEOs and business owners and entrepreneurs and C-level executives, people of influence that have cardiac disease of some way, shape, or form. Either they were born with it congenital, or they, in fact, have acquired it through circumstance. Either way, it's a large group of people. But for those that don't know, I've had a number of cardiac issues, 4 open heart surgeries. I've been cardioverted with paddles 23 different times, individual times over the last several years. Had a cardiac arrest, died for 26 minutes. Got a pacemaker defibrillator now. So a lot of things going on in my life health-wise. But what I've been able to do is I'm very fortunate. I'm knocking on my desk now. Living a thriving life doing that, and that has not been without effort, has not been without challenge and circumstance, but have been able to navigate that both emotionally, mentally, physically, and financially. And I've packaged that and going to be offering how I did that to folks with cardiac disease. Will it be available to others? Absolutely. Friends, family, and so forth? Yes. But right now, my focus is in the secret handshake group of those that have had cardiac arrest. So that's what's coming out. Be aware of that. There's going to be some awesome things happening. There's going to be a game attached to it too. A way to document and track and develop results and so forth. And there's a lot of that going on now. But the tools that I'm using, I developed 9 years ago. So when you see them on the screen, they're not something new. This is something I've been using for 9 years, and I'm excited to be able to bring it to everybody. But with that said, Chris, I think we can put you in the same category. You now have taken a unique position in the marketplace. So why don't you tell our audience where you're headed?
Yeah, sure. I appreciate that, Alan. You know, or should I call you Frankenwitch?
Frankenwitch.
The guy,
the million four man.
Right? Come back from the dead and found me. And now we're doing this great show and we're having a ton of fun. And we're, you know, again, working on some of the things that are important to us to go out there and service the market. And, you know, thanks for asking me, Alan. I've been working on something, as you know, called the Kick-Ass Sales Game. And I'm several months behind the scenes from, from the perspective of using my genius zone in terms of, you know, what I've done for most of my life. I've been a sales guy for, you know, well over 25 years. Most of my life, if you really count all the little tiny money-making machines I created as a kid, you know, whether it was a paper route, collecting bottles and bringing them back, you know, for people, you know, to collect a commission on when the returnable bottle thing was happening, and many, maybe, you know, that are watching don't even see,
don't even know what that is.
Right. You know, and I guess the other day, the other thing is I sold pop door to door, and then I moved into Pepsi as a career for a little while. And then of course I started my own businesses and I carried on from there. But I called this the Kick-Ass Sales Game because I believe that if you get up every day wanting to play a game, you know, let me ask you a question, Alan. Why do we play games in the first place?
I think we're told not to, but didn't we grow up playing games? Don't we love playing games?
Absolutely. But why do you play the game? Like, what's the objective of playing the game in the first place?
To win.
To win, right? So
we got
to
win.
Why not take the same perspective in what you do, particularly what I train salespeople to go out and do, is to win the game and win it daily and go out there and do what's, you know, really effective in the areas of activity, you know, you yourself, like your being, and connecting with your clients, your prospects, closing, obviously, and then having a direction of where that the future, sort of working 90 days back and over a year, seeing where, you know, the score brought you. And I know unequivocally, based on the testing that I've done, is that people are winning the game, and hence winning is translating into revenue, and which is then translating into things that they can, you know, acquire in their life and maybe help others with spreading their message and so forth and so on. So the game is about going out there and playing it every day. And I'm having a ton of fun doing it behind the scenes. Like I said, I'm going to launch it to a larger group and, you know, collapse time for me, because obviously working one-on-one or, you know, working with corporations takes a, you know, good amount of my time. But I want to be able to spread this message, and I'm on this message right now, and I'm going to continue going. I don't want to buy into the statistics that we're throwing all the time, that, you know, 80% of the revenue is created by 20% of your sales reps. I think that's BS. And I think that if people start looking at how do we have 100% of our revenue coming from 100% of our sales reps, what would that look like in your business? And I truly believe that would probably 10x most people's business right now. So I'm challenging the paradigm, you know, that a lot of people have been buying into for many, many years. I've heard that since the beginning of time, this 80-20 rule. And, you know, I get it, I understand it, but it's time to challenge it and create a new paradigm. So that's what I'm up to right now.
That's exciting. You talk about an exponential platform of growth without competition. I think there's a lot of salespeople out there that figure that they're really in competition with somebody else. They're in competition with themselves. And this, is, as I understand it, and you and I have talked a lot behind the scenes, is that this will allow them to compete with themselves, to be able to be accountable to themselves without having to worry about who else is in the environment. And for an employer perspective that's got a number of salespeople, that's going to be an ideal environment, because it's going to keep people not only attuned to what they're doing, but it's going to keep them motivated and tracked by their own desires, by their own mission, by their own focus. And then it will be a perpetual way to not only educate their audience, but to be able to duplicate this whoever they bring on. So I love the fact that you've individualized it. But many can play it in the company and without competition. So kudos to that.
I appreciate that. And yeah, it, you know, again, I think, you know, what I've learned from my coach, accountability is an illusion. And, you know, having people to keep you accountable just doesn't make any sense. I think people need to be accountable to themselves. And I think when you do that, you take it way more seriously, and you get up every day with a mission. You get a vision of what your life needs to look like. You have a game you can play to get there, and you have a mission to complete. And I think if you, you know, again, enjoy that, and you create ways to challenge yourself, I think you'd be surprised based on what you can accomplish when you get into that environment, because it's like playing any board game or sport or any other, you know, game that's out there, is that you're going to compete and you're going to win, and you're challenging yourself to up and level up your skill. And I've got a lot of great things that I'm, you know, bringing to the table playing the game, because I've seen a major difference in their businesses, in what their outlooks look like. And again, they're even dreaming bigger now. And I think that that's a big key to life, is to continue challenging your own mindset and your own paradigms, so that you can ask the question. You know, and I've been asked this question a lot, you know, by my coach as well. Who do I need to become to get the things that I want? And that's a big key in life, is knowing what you want in the first place. And I think that that is a big discovery, you know, through life, is knowing who you are first. Because when you know who you are, you'll know what you want. And when you know what you want, you'll know how to start putting the pieces together. And as a focus, I know 100% that we're a frequency. We are a transmitter of energy, either receiving or sending. And with that, what happens is the people, places, events, and circumstances start to show up. And when that happens, you'd be surprised what starts to happen in your world, in your business, in your momentum, and that momentum will start providing the things that your direction is bringing you. So it's exciting stuff. I'm excited.
Yeah, you've got some great results already. We become what we think about, right? So There's an opportunity there for people to really track that. And to see how they are progressing, not just through statistics, but through results. And I think that, it's a great way to track progression because you can progress without having the results. And some people are going to have to do that. They're going to have to grow a little bit emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, whatever the case may be, maybe just to get them up to plane level. Okay. And then they're going to start seeing results. Either way, there's results internally and there's results externally, as I understand it. So I'm excited to hear more about this, and especially to witness some of the results from your focus group test on what's happening. So this is going to be exciting. It's going to be applicable to anybody that's got sales teams. It's going to be applicable to anybody that's an entrepreneur. It's going to be applicable to anybody that really truly has influence over any one other person or other group of people. And I don't mean that as a source of control, but just as a source of influence, somebody that you can influence with your wisdom, your history, your perspective, your experiences, your results. And I think that's an exciting tool, and it's going to be easy to follow, and it's going to be fun, and it can be competitive if you choose for it to be. That's totally fine. But who you're really competing with is the man in the mirror or the woman in the mirror. So kudos, Chris. Absolutely. Well done. And it's just launching. I think it's going to be an exciting project.
For sure. It already is a very exciting project. Like I said, I want to collapse time a little bit and bring it to a larger group. I have some really great, interesting technologies that are going to help with that. And I'm excited. So, again, I put it back on the table there, Alan, in terms of making sure that, your own world in terms of you and obviously anybody listening in right now, what are you doing to bring yourself to a new level? And you gave hint of that earlier on in the show where you started talking about who you're going to service because based on what you know and what you've gone through, which, a lot of people will know, because again, it's not something that all people recover from. And you have, and I think that is a strong desire inside to live the life that you were meant to live. And now you're able to share that message, and it's exciting. And I know you're doing some speaking around that. Tell us about that a little bit.
Speaking is a very unique thing. I think most people feel that to be a speaker, you have to have a great repertoire and you have to get paid a lot. Speaking is a chance for you to be out in front of at least one other person and embarking some wisdom upon them. But I've reached out to a number of organizations that I have been a benefactor of and with over the last 56 years. Some of those are international companies, some of those are national companies, some of those are local organizations and establishments. And I have done nothing more than offer my story, offer my history, what I've done, what I've been through, what their organization, their product or service has been able to do for me. And I want to be an ambassador about that. And so reached out to a number of organizations, and they're raising their hands. They're saying, yes, we want somebody. We want more people. We want more influence. We want people that feel comfortable, first off, being in front of another person and sharing a story, because that's really what a speaker does. A speaker shares a story or shares a mission or shares a goal with somebody else. And I encourage everybody out there, I don't care what it is that you're doing, what's your genius zone, what do you want to share? What can people learn from you? What one thing do you have that they can learn from you? And that's all I've done. I've just compartmentalized where I've been and what I've done, how I've reached what I've reached. I mean, I made $1 million in a year and I lost it in the same year. I, it's funny. People ask me what happened. on my cardiac arrest. I mean, I had 4 open heart surgeries and I have an artificial heart valve and a number of other things that I've already mentioned. But the cardiac arrest, that was immediate. That was sudden, right? I wasn't planning for that. I didn't know it was coming. But wow. Be careful what you ask for. And here's why I say that, is because we all say, well, when it's my time to go, I want to go out on top, right? And I think most people have an idea of what that means to them. Some may say, I want to go out on the top of my game. and others want to say that I want to go out on in commune with a spouse or a loved one.
Just say it. You're having sex.
And yeah, we were having it, and be careful what you ask for, because I said, if I'm going to go out, that's how I want to go out. Well, guess what? That's exactly how I went out. And it was a really unique experience, let me tell you. I mean, I don't remember it. I don't have any pictures of it. I have what family and friends have told me. But here's two butt-naked people, you know, and the paramedics are there, and they're doing CPR, and there's two paramedic teams, and they shocked me wow. eight times in our bedroom. They gave me 12 cardiac injections. I guess our bedroom looked like a war zone. There was paraphernalia everywhere. After 15, 18 minutes, they finally stabilized me enough to carry me, but they couldn't get me on a gurney to get me down from the third floor from our bedroom down outside. So they put me in a body bag, and they carried me from our bedroom in a body bag down to the ambulance, and they got me to the hospital. And less than 8% of people that have a cardiac arrest survive. So it's like 1.2 people that have a cardiac arrest out of 10 survive. I was one of the fortunate ones, but they put me in induced hypothermia for 2 days. And when I awoke, I didn't have any idea, you know, what had happened. Although I have designed, you know, in architecture, I designed a number of hospitals and clinics. So I was very familiar with my surroundings, and I was coherent enough to know that I was in the hospital and that something probably significant had happened. I had no recollection of it whatsoever. I still don't. And that was 4.5 years ago. I have zero recollection of what happened in the event, but through family and friends and some memorializations through some film, I was able to kind of experience that. And, you know, I've done nothing more than talk about that and what that's meant. And it was crappy. First 2 years were crappy. It was tough. It was really tough navigating the medications, navigating some of the brain damage that have happened, navigating getting my wits back, getting my speech back, getting my lifestyle back, unable to work for 2 years. It was tough. It's still tough. I still suffer. I'm never going to not suffer from some of the effects of that, but you can still live an abundant life with this disease. I've had it for 56 years. I've had the cardiac arrest for 4.5 years. But the results of that kind of a life, you can live exponentially and abundantly, but it takes effort, it takes focus, it takes a little bit of practice, and it takes commitment, and it takes some transparency and letting people in. But once you do that, and once you learn to master what that means, you can have, be, or do anything that you want. And I really want to work with folks that have been where I've been, that have had the cardiac right. arrest, or they just have heart disease in general, because it is a unique handshake. It's not unlike somebody that has cancer. If you don't have cancer, you can't possibly know what a cancer victim goes through at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, the same thing happens with somebody that's got heart disease. You don't really know what's going on until you look in the mirror, and that can be a very lonely place. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can thrive in life economically, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever way you want. But it does take some effort, and it takes some wisdom to be able to do it. But that's my focus, and that's where I want to plant my flag, and sure. It's exciting to do that. So thank you for letting me elaborate on that and go from, you know, some fun talk to some pretty serious stuff. But it's life, right? It's about what we Absolutely. How we navigate every day, and that's why we wear these shirts. Thank you for the shirt, by the way. Think bold, be bold. I mean, you've got to think bold, and you've got to act bold in what you do. Otherwise, you're going to fall into the monotony of existence, where a great mass of people reside, and accept it. And I'm telling you, don't accept it, because there's so much more waiting for you out there. But it's going to take commitment and effort.
Big time. And, you know, I got to say, Alan, that, you know, you're here, you have gratitude for that. And, you know, for a lot of people out there that may not relate to your story from the perspective of knowing, we know about it, but we don't know it unless you've been in it. You know, it's a time to give attitude of gratitude towards the things that you have in your life. And we always have something if you want to just focus on, you know, some positives. And I always say that, you know, people have geniuses. People are really things out there. And I think that when you start, you know, focusing on your strengths rather than your weaknesses or comparing yourself to others, I can honestly tell you, I read something, you know, today that, you know, outlined when you get started, it's one of those things you start doing a lot of comparison, and then the comparison to someone where they've been doing it maybe for years, or maybe people you admire, and you see them going and living this life that you want, you're desiring, and you don't feel worthy enough to have it. A lot of times, then you start to suppress, and you know, you get sedated in a world where, again, it's not serving you, and it just ends up being, to your point, mediocre, and you have a mediocre life, and you've never gone after. You know, I think the biggest thing that scares me is regret, you know, looking at, you know, when I get to a certain age and just wish I did something. So that's why a lot of times people will see me do a lot of things. I'm not afraid to fail, because I know that every time I fail forward. Because something new opens up inside of me with an understanding that, again, is alignment and getting me closer to where I really want to go in life. And hey, you got to try things. You know, I'm a big fan of going out there and just going at it. I don't have any care in the world what anybody else thinks at all. And you know, I don't have, you know, a life that a lot of people would understand, let's say, through, you know, a couple of divorces, you know, kids with different people. And, you know, people look upon that and then, you know, they start making some judgment towards that. But listen, if I didn't have all that in my life, I wouldn't be where I am and doing the things that I really, really enjoy doing, because I went through this discovery about, like I said earlier in the show, when you really know who you are, that'll be your greatest discovery, you know, in your life. And sometimes, like you, Alan, had to go through something crazy in your of what it's brought you and where now you can bring it to others and share your story so it inspires. And I think inspiration's a big thing. And I think that more people need to stop judging and look at the inspiration in others to find something in themselves so that they can go out there and just try something. Just try it. And you'll get better at it. You know, you'll get better at it. And there's just so many stories out there of all the successful people that we see and we admire. Believe me, they've gone through some crazy stuff, and you don't get to, you know, the growth without going through any of those pains. You know, and unfortunately, as a human, we are wired to run away from pain, but that's exactly where you need to go in order to get through to the other side. And it's worth it to go through that stuff. And, you know, your story, my story, and everybody else's story out there, we all have one, and it's relatable. But at the same time, I just want to give the encouragement to our audience to go out there and just go after your goals, go after the things you want. Don't worry about what other people are thinking. If you do, it's going to hold you back, and it's going to just get you, you know, further away from what you really want to do. And I know that if you just keep going and doing it, and you'll get better at it. Just like, you know, right now we're experimenting, right? We don't know. It may be really crappy. This show might not turn out really well on our podcast. It might not even be that good on Facebook Live right now. We're seeing people pop in and out. We've got, you know, comments coming on, and, you know, good people are coming on and talking, you know, that we've met and we know and all that. And we'll share this on all our other channels, but we're trying something new. And
yeah, we're
doing
trying
it because,
new.
Right? We're just trying something new, and who knows? And that's what I love about this, is we're trying something new. Who knows? And then perhaps this is the opening that we needed, Alan. And to bring our show to a new level. And that's what's exciting about all this new technology. The world we live right now, just think about it. The world we live gives us so much opportunity. It is unbelievable. And we're going to bring on, you know, the beauty about this is we're going to bring on people that we know and we've interviewed to come and do this with us. And it's going to be so much fun because we have a new technology that we're implementing soon to do live shows as well as podcasts and put it out into the audio world. And perhaps video. We're thinking about that as well and launching our video podcast. But we've got, you know, a progression. We're just trying this out and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's exposure and it's not being afraid of falling. I think there's a lot of times, you know, we're afraid to fall because of the results or what people might think, right? And there's that's not any different here. I mean, people think they don't want to fail because their reputation's on the line. Well, your reputation's on the line, but people need to know who you are. People need to know what you can offer, what your character is. And they're going to be able to see that when you tell your story. You talk about story a lot. And I think it's very true. I think everybody has a story. I think everybody, others can benefit from your story. And knowing who you are and where you've come from is key. And nobody else has influence over that. That's you. That's the value that you bring. That's the piece that you can offer somebody else. And master that, own that, accept that, exude that, talk about that, witness that, because that is going to give you fuel. That is going to give you power, if you will. And I don't care if I don't care who you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care your age, your gender, your preferences, your economic status. I don't care if you're married, if you're not married. It makes no difference whatsoever. It makes no difference what your ethnicity is. It does make a difference so that you share it. And I think that's a big challenge that people face, especially when they're in an employment arena. They're afraid to maybe be themselves or offer themselves because of risk of what might happen. And you know, we're fortunate in the U.S. We live in a country where we're free to have freedom of speech, and we don't want to abuse that, obviously, but we can use that as a platform to be able to offer value to other people. And, you know, that's the first step, is own who you are and offer that value. And you'd be surprised the amount of people that will follow, that will witness, that will appreciate, and that will share your story and your resources and your results, because it's going to help them. And isn't that what we're all here for anyway?
That's right. Alan, what a great show. I love that we tried something new, and it's gone very quickly, but we're going to get better at this. So for the audience, we've got some really cool things coming. And for anybody listening in, just so you know, we had we did a broadcast live and on Facebook. Lots of cool people jumped on and said some great comments. And we look forward to doing this again. Alan's always a pleasure doing the show with you.
Pleasure's all mine, my friend.
Thank you. We've got some amazing guests coming. Just some incredible things happening in our world. Now 120 shows. Really coming up on launching our 100th show, aired, that is. And we're going to be doing more of this. So we're excited. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, for sure. And thanks for coming on, everybody. So let's say goodbye for now, and we'll be back again soon. All right.
Let's do it.
Well,
it
wouldn't be a show.
But hey, before we go, everybody, let us know how this sounds. Let us know how this is coming across. And the reason I'm saying that is that as Chris and I are doing these two technologies at one time, we're off.
No. Keep going.
We're using two technologies simultaneously. And when Chris and I talk, we're each hearing simulcasted versions of each other. So we're hearing two or three of our own voices as we talk. So it's been fun navigating this particular episode. But let us know how this sounds. We can't register because we're hearing double stereo every time we talk. But let us know. Anyway, I just want to throw that out there because I'm real curious as to what the audience hears.
I appreciate that, and we'll get some comments, I'm sure. Again, it wouldn't be a show, Alan, without me saying, do something nice for someone today.